Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Are you ready for God's word this morning? Praise God. Praise God. We're going to do something really special in just a moment. I want you to be prepared. Are you ready not just to have normal church? I don't want just normal church. I want to experience the power of God this morning. I don't want to just do a normal Christmas. I want heaven to invade this room. I want God to intersect. I want us to experience the power of His presence. I'm ready. I'm excited, and I'm happy to be here this morning. Life is full of risks, amen? It's full of risks. We risked our lives literally to drive here this morning. Y'all don't know, there's some knuckleheads that drive on the streets in McDonough, Georgia. It's a risk to even drive. We risk heartache when we let people into our lives, right? When we let down our guard and we let people in, we risk heartache. When we let people get close, we risk embarrassment of failure when we try something new, right? I'm here this morning. Life is full of risk. This is a start. I'm here to say it was risky. It was risky for Jesus, the Son of God, to leave heaven, perfection, where angelic hosts were proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He left the place where the streets of gold and buildings of emerald, where there's no need for light because the very power and radiance of God Almighty illuminates. He left perfection. That was a risk to save humanity from sin. It was a risk for Joseph not to divorce Mary quietly. It was a risk for him because she was pregnant before their wedding day. It was risky not to care what others think or say, because in that day and age, it was even worse for something like that to happen. It was risky for Mary to ponder these things in her heart, is what the scripture said. When Gabriel told her, "You will be the mother of the Son of God," it says that she pondered these things in her heart, and she embraced the calling to be the mother of Jesus. And I'm here this morning. That was risk. That was difficult. You and I can relate with the Christmas narrative because you and I take risks every single day. I remember very vividly, and I'm going to invite Caroline to come in just a moment. She's going to minister in music, and I want us to worship with her because the Spirit of God wants to do something special this morning. I'm confident of it. It was just something pricked in my spirit as I was preparing this week. You got to do this, son, and I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I remember very vividly that awkward Sunday morning where Jubilee and I were in the interview process of coming to be your lead pastors a couple years ago. We were in the hotel preparing, getting ready before Sunday morning service. And I don't know if you recognize this. Some of you know how it works in our fellowship, but the way a pastor gets voted into a church is really very awkward. It's very difficult for the pastor because I was assigned to come and preach, and then directly after the service, I get to go in a little back room while y'all vote whether or not y'all like me. Can I tell you, that feels pretty risky? Let me put myself out there I want to give you what God has placed in me, and we're going to vote to see whether or not it's good enough. It was awkward. It causes these feelings and thoughts, but we knew that God was leading and ordering our steps. We were divinely appointed to come. No matter how risky, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter what difficulties we may face, no matter even before we had any relationship with anyone, God called us to come and put it out there and say, "You know what? We don't know you yet, but we know the God who loves you. And we want to love you like Jesus loves you. We want to lead you as Christ leads us." And I'll never forget, because that morning in that hotel room, we turned on a song and we put it on repeat. and it was by Tasha Cobbs. And I don't know if you know her, but she can flow in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it simply is called For Your Glory. The lyrics, you're about to hear it, and I dare you to start singing it. I dare you to get it in your spirit. I want Caroline to sing it over us a couple times, because it simply says, For Your Glory, God, I'll do anything. And I can imagine that when Gabriel intersected Mary's life and said, this is what's about to happen. You're about to become pregnant, and I know it's impossible. I know it's difficult. I know this isn't what you expected. It's not what you asked for. It's not what you wanted. But I can imagine that when Mary got that news, she probably sang something like this. For Your Glory, I will do anything. So Caroline, would you come and lead us in this worship this morning? Make this a holy moment, church.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, I wanna be where you are.
of Almighty God this morning. God is about to infuse hope into hopelessness this morning. If we will be like Mary and say, wherever you lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Whatever you walk me through, I don't care what hell may come my way. I will fight. I will endure. I will fight. I want to be where you are, Jesus. I want to be in your presence, God. I want nothing more than you and you alone. My Bible says that if we seek first the kingdom of God, then all things will be added unto us. Everything else gets taken care of when we find ourselves in the power and the presence of God. Thankful for your presence this morning, Jesus. Bow your hearts and your heads this morning as we pray to enter in to the Word of God. God, would you do anything? Anything that you can do this morning, we ask you to have your way. God, I pray that right now in this moment, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for being Emmanuel, God, with us. Thank you for sending us the hope of glory. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Now we want to be where you are, Jesus. We want to do whatever you call us to do for your glory, for your kingdom come, for your will to be done. Make us like Mary this morning, Jesus. Help us to be willing to risk anything to be where you're at. I pray that we would be willing to shed our plans, to even shed our hopes and our dreams, to put them aside if that means being where you are, because that is worth it. Your presence is fullness of joy. For your glory, God, for your kingdom come, we'll do absolutely anything. Show up and show off this morning. Infuse your people with everlasting hope this morning. God, I thank you that depression has no place in this house this morning. God, I thank you that fear has no place in this house this morning. I thank you that a defeated spirit has no place in this house this morning. I thank you that victory is ours. God, you've called us to be victorious in you this morning. So let hope arise in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you for your presence. We sit in it. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your ministry, Caroline. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're ready for God's word. Merry Christmas. I promise you, I hope you get some extra time this week with your precious families and the people you love most this Christmas. I pray that hopefully your work gave you some time off in Jesus' name, at least a day or two. And I hope, ladies, I hope you get to watch all the Hallmark Christmas movies you want this week, because praise God, it's about to be over. In the name of Jesus, once Christmas comes, my house is turning that junk off. And in the name of Jesus, no, Jubilee does what she wants. Y'all know that. But guys, watch out. This week, I'm warning you, gentlemen, if you have not gotten your gifts, and especially if it's for your kids, Academy Sports is no joke, okay? That line goes all the way to the back, and it takes forever, so don't put it off. Who's ready for some Christmas hope this morning? I'm ready for some hope this morning. I came to speak life over our church. I pray for the power of God's anointing right now in Jesus' name. I wonder who came to encounter the power and the presence of the living God this morning. I'm here, get ready, because this is not your normal Christmas message, church. This is not, I came to preach. Anyone came to receive? I came to preach, and in the name of Jesus, let hope arise in this house. In the name of Jesus, let hope be infused into your situation. In the name of Jesus, there is something to be excited about, because God is in control, and he is about to show us. Bree told me right after worship, she got a text message. Daniel just said he's on his way home. Praise God. Hope. That's what we have as believers, is hope in Christ. And I declare and I prophesy that 2022 is going to be the best year in Jesus' name. I'm thankful and I'm praying Haggai 2:9 over Life Church and all of its members. And it says the future glory of this house is going to be greater than its past glory. Did you hear that this morning? Hear God's word. The future glory of your house is going to be greater than its previous glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And the place I will bring, at this place I will bring peace, and I am the Lord of heaven's armies, and I have spoken. The greater is coming. In Jesus' name. If you walked in this morning with little hope, you came in discouraged or downhearted, God sent me to encourage you this morning. Come on, somebody. If you have breath in your lungs, God is not done with you in Jesus' name. Praise God. He is a God who is able to make something out of nothing. Did you hear me, church? That is his expertise. Ex nihilo, he makes something out of nothing. Come on, somebody. Our God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, somebody help me preach this morning. If he's made a way before, he's going to make a way again, church, in Jesus' name. You see, church, the Christmas story is not some fairy tale. It's not this mamby-pamby bedtime story that you just tuck your kids in. It's not a Santa Claus story. It's not a feel-good movie in the Hallmark season. I promise you that. Christmas is all about hope. It's about the power of God manifesting on earth. It's about miraculous things taking place. Come on, anybody need a miracle this morning? This is the season for miracles, because it is the best miracle that ever happened was when Jesus invaded this planet for us. That is a miracle. Our God is able. Praise God. The Christmas story, I'm here to tell somebody who may be doubting its reality. It is a historical reality that heaven invaded earth. Come on, somebody. Listen to God's prophetic word. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders," because God is in control. Amen. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Somebody needs peace this morning. He is the Prince of your peace. "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Hallelujah. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty is going to accomplish this." Praise God. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. That should give us hope. He is true to his word. His word will not return void, church. Come on, somebody. Christmas is all about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If that doesn't bring somebody hope, I don't know what will, because Jesus is Lord. Man, God sent me this morning to articulate that Christmas is a season of hope because Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Hearts begin to break. The strongholds begin to be torn down. Fear has to leave at the mighty day. When Jesus walks into the room, when Jesus falls from heaven and fills the womb of a Virgin Mary, everything changes, church. That's the gospel news. When Jesus walks into the room, it changes things. My Bible says when two or three are gathered in his name, he's here in our midst. Praise God. Something's going to change this morning because Jesus is in this place. When you and I encounter Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, the Son of the living God, absolutely everything should change. Everything. My Bible says in 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." That's the word of God. Jesus is fully God and Jesus is fully love. So when Jesus walks into the room, fear has to leave. So if you walked in fearing a situation, you're facing something this week, you don't know what the outcome's going to be, you don't have to be afraid, because the perfect and true love of Jesus is with you. If God is with you, who can be against you? There is no fear in perfect love. When Jesus comes in, it changes things. Jesus is right here and right now in this place because we're gathered in his name. This is his church. We are his people. And we're here to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. My Bible teaches us that Jesus is the light of the world. The light of the world. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee, church. Right then in that moment, something happened. Something shifted in the supernatural. You may not see it with your mind's eye. You may not comprehend it. But at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Something happens when we speak the name of Jesus, church. That which is out of alignment has to come back into alignment at the name of Jesus. Power gets released, church. I'm saying power. Power. Wonder-working power. Gets released when we say the name of Jesus, church. Come on, somebody. I dare somebody right now to shout the name of Jesus over your life. Shout the name of Jesus over your life. I dare somebody to take authority. Take authority over your situation right now. Jesus, Jesus, use the name of Jesus. I dare someone to start hoping again this morning because Jesus came to change everything. He came to change it. He came to change our circumstance. My Bible says this. It says in James 4, 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the evil one and he will flee. He has to flee because of Jesus. When Jesus left the throne room of heaven, loving us enough to leave perfection and step down from this perfected heaven into a sin-broken world that you and I live in today, he did so that you and I could have authority. And dominion. He called us to have power. When he stretched out his hands on Calvary's cross and paid the ultimate price, he went down to the depths of Hades and grabbed the keys of life and sin and death and took them from our adversary and said, we now have the authority in Jesus' name. That's good news this morning. As I was praying this week, I felt the need to pray for the person who walked into this room this morning thinking you're not valuable to Jesus, thinking you're not good enough for something so special. The mind games of the enemy of our soul have been working on you over time this week, and you think because of the mistakes that you've made, you're not worthy to be loved by our Creator. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If Jesus can be spat on, beaten beyond recognition, stripped down and embarrassed publicly, whipped with the cat of nine tails 39 times to the brink of killing him, and nailed to Calvary's cross, and even mocked by the soldiers at his feet. If he can do all of those things and still cry out, Father, forgive them, they don't even realize what they're doing. If he can do that, then what you have done is nothing in comparison to that atrocity. He loves you unconditionally. Jesus sent me to remind you, if you think you're not good enough for Emmanuel, God with us, God sent me to remind you that he left heaven to be in relationship with you. He left paradise for you because he loves you that tenaciously. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so glad, so grateful. While I was at my worst, he gave me his best. While I was not even acknowledging his existence, he died for me, and he died for you. That's good news this morning that we should shout for joy about this Christmas season. He loves you unconditionally. Agape love. It's interesting. I heard even this morning that when the gospel writers wrote that agape love, that nothing can separate us from his love. That word in the Greek was agape, and it was the unconditional love. And they didn't even actually use that in the Greek language until Christ displayed it on the cross. Because they couldn't explain it before then. But once they saw the Calvary's cross and the expression of unconditional love when Jesus stretched out his arms, then they had a way to describe that's what we're talking about agape. They didn't even use that word until the cross. And that's the love of our Lord and Savior. Praise God for his love. We have hope, church, because of our Jesus. Our enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy our hope, but the name of Jesus is above every name. Church, I'm going to get back into it. Let's get back into this. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You have authority. There is hope for healing because by the stripes of Jesus, we are made whole this Christmas. There's hope for freedom. Because his anointing mends the brokenhearted. Come on, somebody. Has anybody experienced the mending of the Holy Spirit? His anointing opens blind eyes. His anointing sets captives free. Praise God for your freedom, Lindsay. I'm so grateful that you're with us this morning. His anointing opens prison doors. Come on, somebody, this morning. If you have Jesus, you have hope. If you have Jesus, you have hope. If you've experienced his life-changing hope, can you give him a shout of praise? Thank you, God. You may want to say, Pastor, 2021 has been one of the darkest and difficult years of my life. How do I have hope in the midst of everything that's gone on? If that's you, I'm confident you're not the only one who feels that way. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not strange. Guess what? We all live in this broken world. It's everything in the enemy's plan is to try to destroy our hope. This morning, you might be in the middle of one of the hardest situations you've ever faced in your life, and it might be one of the lowest valleys, one of the driest seasons you've ever faced, where all hell is trying to discourage you. I know it because I've been praying for you. I sense it in the spiritual realm. The enemy's trying to discourage and defeat you, but I'm here to be like the prophet of old, and God sent me to say, get ready. Get ready in the name of Jesus, because behold, on the horizon, it may be dark, it may be dry, you may have faced famine and drought, but look at the horizon, because I see what seems to be the size of a man's fist. A cloud is coming. The rain is about to come in Jesus' name. That's a prophetic word for somebody. Hold on, because the drought, the dry season's about to end, because God's going to water and wash it all away. There's a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring in Jesus' name is coming. Breakthrough is coming in the name of Jesus. If you need breakthrough, I dare you to cry out for it. Even right now, I need you, Jesus. Because of that first Christmas, church, we have hope. We have hope. Jesus came to redeem that first Christmas. And because of that, we have hope even in the middle of hopeless situations. We are people who can walk through the fire without even having the smell of smoke on our garments, because there's another who walks with us in the fire. Somebody once eloquently said this: hope is the companion of power. I like that. I want the power of God. Hope is the companion of power and the mother of success. For the one who hopes strongly has within them the gift of miracles. That is a powerful quote. I'm believing God is going to give us some hope this morning. Come on, somebody. And that hope will produce miracles just like that first Christmas day. It was a miracle. It was unbelievable. Hope is the ability to see that there is still light in this world despite all the darkness. There is light because Jesus is light. When the world says give up, hope says give it one more try. Somebody needs to get that in your spirit this morning. When the enemy says you better give up, I'm going to crush you, you give it one more shot, because you're one more prayer away from breakthrough. You're one more day of waking up and being diligent and doing what God's called you to do, being faithful, being obedient. One more time, one more day, one more step, one more step. He's ordering your step just one more time, and there's hope in Jesus' name. God sent me this morning to communicate that he is not done with you yet. He's not finished with you. I know he's not done with me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. He's not done with our movement. He is not done with our nation in Jesus' name. He's not done with this community. Come on, somebody. He is not done working in our economy in Jesus' name. He's not done working in our government. We need to pray. 2022 needs to be a place, a time where God breaks into our government. I'm praying for our leaders. I know. That no matter what hardships we face week to week, he is not done with this church. He's not done with this church. He's not done with this church. He's not done with this church. You are the church. He's not done with this church. He's not done working. I have hope from on high because Jesus keeps encouraging my heart. He keeps pushing me and challenging me, keeps me going on. He keeps me saying to me, and you know what he says? He says, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Because of a couple thousand years ago, miraculously, Jesus was conceived, born of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and his coming is still changing our world today. It's not a normal Christmas message. It's something filled with hope. The reality is this. Hope is complicated because it's coupled with an element of risk. I shared with you it was risky that Sunday morning when we came and put ourselves on a platter and said, hey, you like us? There was risk. The anointing was there, but it was also risky. Hope is, we wanted to be here, but it was like, take it or leave it. This is who we are. There's risk involved with hope. Hope implies in its very meaning that it's not happened yet. That's what hope is. It implies that something you want to happen is not happening yet. And so therefore there's risk because you want it to happen, but it may not. There's risk. Does that make sense this morning? I hope to get promoted, but what if I get overlooked by someone else? I hope my significant other likes my Christmas gift that I got them, but what if it's a flop? Anybody been there? One year I got something really nice for Jubilee, and she's like, why did you do that? The next year I got something less, and she's like, why didn't you give me something? I'm gonna pay for that this afternoon. That's not in my notes. That's the Holy Spirit. No, not really. I hope it's a thoughtful gift, but what if it sends the wrong message? Huh? Some of y'all are getting gifts for people. What? Maybe you don't want to send that message, right? Hope is complicated because it's connected with an element of risk. I hope the diagnosis comes back negative, but what if I have cancer? I hope that I get healed, but what if I don't? I hope that if I obediently tithe, then my finances will be blessed, but what if I don't have enough to make ends meet? I love the testimony. I hope I win the raffle. But there's a risk involved. I hope my child makes good decisions in spite of the day-to-day darkness of the public school system that they live in. But what if they get tempted to go down the wrong path? There's risk involved with hope. I hope I'm a good parent, but what if they blame me for not wanting to be a Christian because I led them to live a life that is set apart and holy? What if they don't want Christ, even though I've done everything I can? I hope my friends and loved ones accept Jesus, and I hope God uses me to be a witness to them, and I hope they come to our church. But what if they reject me because of my faith and keep me at arm's length if I tell them the truth about Jesus? There's a risk involved. You see, I hope you can see how hope is almost always coupled with risk. I hope I'm clearly communicating this morning. But I realize no matter what I say, there is a risk that it can be misinterpreted and misunderstood. I don't know if I've ever been driving, if you've ever been driving in your car like I have, and you said something like this, I hope I make it to the gas station because I've been driving with this gas light on for a minute now. Anybody with me this morning? I hope those fumes hold on in Jesus' name. There's a real risk of being broke down on the side of the road. God sent me this morning to say, we can't afford to lose hope, church. We can't afford to lose hope. Not this Christmas. Not this Christmas. We can't afford to stop believing God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I realize that 2021 has had its fair share of challenges. I'm praying my voice holds on because even this week, the enemy doesn't want this message to go forth. Sickness has challenged many of our families and our homes. So many things have happened this past year, and I'm not going to lift it up, but I am going to share it because it does give us some context of how our adversary works. Many circumstances have unfolded, and I'm just going to touch the surface of the iceberg of 2021 to diminish. It's a plan of attack to diminish our hope straight from the pit of hell, church. We all have experienced the ongoing pandemic that continues with new variants, a media that is constantly trying to place fear in front of us. Also in January of 2021, the world, that was at the very beginning of this year, the world crossed over into 2 million COVID-related deaths. What a tragic situation. Fear has tried to choke out our hope, but we still know God's word is true, church. We still know God's word is true, and God does not give you and I a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's our Bible. Supply chains have faltered with shortages of shipping containers and backups at ports all around the world. Amazon two-day shipping has us spoiled, church. I love to just go online and say, give it to me online. I don't want to stand in line. But lately, it's messing with our minds. I don't know about you, but Amazon's breaking my heart because we can't go and do our normal routine because it's not as easy to get what we ordered and get it within on our doorstep in 48 hours because of what's taking place. Can I tell you that our God has no supply chain shortage? Come on, somebody. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Let me remind us this morning that he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. His grace is sufficient for our needs. There is no lack in heaven. That's good news this morning. In 2021, the Taliban returned to power in Afghanistan after decades of struggle in the Middle East as the U.S. forces were abruptly removed. That was something dark. Peace in the Middle East seems hopeless, church. But I know that there's coming a day where he's going to crack open that eastern sky and ride on his white horse and bring truth and justice and righteousness, and once and for all, his kingdom's going to be established. Trump supporters stormed the nation's capital on January 6th, what's been considered an insurrection of our nation's capital. Our hope for the United States of America has been challenged all year long because we understand that a house divided cannot stand. We understand that's God's word. Racial injustice, it breaks my heart because the division has discouraged us all year long. But church, I still have hope. I still have hope for our nation because we are one nation under God. Come on, somebody, we need to pray. We need to pray. Let unity rise. Let diversity flow in our nation. We are not under a political party. We are under the shadow of his wing, church. The day is coming where every tongue, tribe, and nation will worship together. We're going to be an amazing melting pot because that's how God created us to be, beautiful and diverse. You see, church, call me an optimist. Go ahead. That's okay. I still have hope because I still have Jesus. I have hope because I have Jesus. The Christmas message has never changed. It's full of hope, and we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. In 2005, a mom with her daughters had this really cool Christmas tradition, and they came together. She was brilliant, a great mom, and she made this little elf, and every night she would put it on the shelf. Y'all know where I'm going. And she would tell her children that this elf had magical powers and he was watching. It's kind of like that creepy Christmas song. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. That's really awkward to me. I hate that song about Santa. And this mom said, hey, girls, you see this elf? He's watching. And he's going to go magically every night to Santa's workshop and tell him, if you were naughty, or tell him you were nice. And y'all know what happened. At 2005, her girls started to get this idea, what if we sell this? And they started a little business, not even knowing what it would do. And I'm here this morning to say, since 2005, every year after, they have sold over 10 million a year of little elves on a shelf with a little book. It is incredible what they have done. And I believe this morning, come on, somebody, there is a $1 million calling in this house this morning. God has planted an idea in you that just needs to be fertilized with hope this morning. There is a dream, a unique idea that God has been cultivating in someone's heart this morning, that if you will get up and get the nerve to hope that God will bless you, God will anoint you, God will bring that dream into reality, and if you will take the risk of just stepping out in faith, God will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. That's my prayer for us as we enter. You see, church, hope needs to be encouraged. Hope needs to be cultivated. Hope needs to be nurtured. Hope needs to be fed and protected. It needs to be safeguarded, or else hope will be lost. If you don't protect your hope, the enemy's going to steal it from you. I'm constantly praying Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Open our eyes, Jesus, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance for his holy people. Guess what? You're his holy people. Open our eyes, God, to the hope that we have in you. Church, Christmas is about hearing, it's all about hearing a message from heaven that changes our lives. Christmas puts a spotlight on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It's about bringing hope to hopeless situations. I love how it starts. The multifaceted story starts with John the Baptist. I love John. Zechariah was old, y'all. He was grandpa at this point. Zechariah was old, and Elizabeth, his wife, was supposedly barren, but God sends an angel, Gabriel, the same one he sent to Mary, and says, "Zechariah, go tell Elizabeth she's about to be pregnant." And when the scripture says that when he heard this, he laughed. How is this going to happen? The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, if you look with me, starting in verse 14, it says about John, "He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He will bring back many of his people to Israel, to the Lord, God, their God, and he will go before the Lord in spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John the Baptist. I love that the Christmas narrative. It starts with this, because the scripture tells us Zechariah doubted the message he received from Gabriel. He was reluctant to believe because God knew his limitations. How many know your limitations this morning? I know my faults. I know my failures. I know what my bank account says, right? I know my limitations, and that's where Zechariah was. He was struck with silence until John was born, but God still used him to bring in the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, into this world. And the reason I share all this as a precursor to Jesus is this tells me, it reminds me, it shows me this morning, and it should show us that God has always worked with reluctant people. Oh, that's great news this morning. That's a good word for somebody this morning. You're reluctant. I don't know if I want to go full force into my walk with the Lord. That's okay. God's still going to use you. He uses broken vessels. That's what my Bible says. God uses and has always worked with reluctant people. I want to clap for that, because that's me. God is always pleased by faith. Don't get me wrong. But he's always used broken vessels to show that this all-surpassing power is not from us, but it's from him. Let me be frank this morning. This is what I'm trying to say. If you are broken this morning, if you are broken this morning, God can still use you. If you're broken this morning, God can still use you. That's great news. Let that bring hope. In fact, if you're broken this morning, he wants to use you. That's his heart's desire. If you've been navigating through what seems like hopeless seasons of your life, I've been praying this will speak to your soul this morning. He chose a reluctant priest who should have been full of faith but still doubted God, and he still used him. If you've doubted God, He can still use you, church. He can still use you. The man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's what our prayer should be. This morning, let Zechariah's example give you hope this morning. Here's what I believe, because I've seen it over and over and over again, church. Hopeless and helpless situations are not impossible when the Spirit of God steps in and empowers us. Hopeless situations, when the Spirit of God comes in, everything changes. It's not hopeless. Someone needs this to make God is able a daily declaration of your life. God is able. Somebody say it right now. God is able. Why? Because He's able. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could think, ask, or imagine. If financial hardship has haunted you in 2021, it seems impossible to catch up. I came this morning to say God is able. He can open the womb of Elizabeth. He can provide in Jesus' name. You have spent years being single and it seems hopeless that you're going to be able to find the right one for you. I've come this morning with good news. There is hope because God is still able in Jesus. If He can use a reluctant priest to set up the world-changing ministry of Jesus through John the Baptist, then praise God, He can bring the right person in your path. Hallelujah. All the single folks said amen. If you find yourself slowly giving up on a prodigal child that is utterly depressed and who has rejected the reality that God exists and that His love is real, let the Christmas story bring new hope to your spirit this morning. God's word will not return void. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it in Jesus' name. I'm believing this Christmas that many family members who are far from Jesus are going to be born again. Hallelujah. If God can do it with John the Baptist, then praise God, He can do it with us this Christmas. Stand to your feet, if you would, all across this room as the band comes. Merry Christmas. May hope arise in this room as we hear the final word. I love you, church. I'm grateful for you. I have high hopes because I know God wants breakthrough in your life even more than we do. God is able, church. He still sits on the throne of heaven. He's still in control. He still holds the whole world in the palm of His hand. Can I speak that into your spirit this morning? He's still in control, church. Listen to Luke chapter 1. As we close this morning, it says this, and as they begin to play, it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. I'm here this morning to say that same message is for you. God is not a respecter of persons. You are highly favored, Life Church. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at His words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You don't understand what's coming next in 2022. You don't know what is coming in your path. Some things have been challenging and you don't know how breakthrough is going to come. You might be afraid. You need to hear that. Do not be afraid. The angel said to Mary, you have found favor with God. And you will conceive and you will give birth to a son and you're to call Him Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. He will be great. And He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Oh, that's our Lord. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. I'm a virgin. I think it's very important. Don't miss this powerful truth. Just because we've heard the Christmas story many times, if you've heard this all your life because you've grown up in church, you don't need to miss this. Mary planned to get married and have a simple life. She had a plan and normalcy was on its way. But you need to hear this morning. God's plan will always supersede our plan. His plan will always supersede our plan. He can take our normal and turn it into something supernatural if we'll allow him to. God wants to do that with many of us. The story keeps going. It says the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The Holy Spirit will come on you. You're dealing with a hopeless situation. The Holy Spirit will come on you." Something impossible is what God's called you to pray for. I dare you to pray anyways, because the Holy Spirit will come on you. He'll make a way where there's no way. He'll make something out of nothing. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit will come on you and overshadow you. Overshadow the lack. Overshadow the dysfunction. He'll overshadow it. So the Holy One will be born, and he'll be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, look to John the Baptist, is going to have a child. In her old age, she was barren. She was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth, but guess what? She's already in her sixth month. Can you see? God's done it before. He'll do it again. Can you get that in your spirit this morning? God's done it before. He'll do it again. He's done a miracle before. He'll do it again, church. Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled. May it be. Let it happen." And then the angel left her. I have so much joy. I have so much expectation, church, about what God is about to do in us and through us this Christmas. I have such high hopes. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for 2022. The future is going to be greater than the past. The best days are ahead of us, church. We're about to walk out of a dry season into flourishing. We're going to have the favor of God. I'm unapologetically optimistic about our future. Come on, somebody. I know that God has us in the palm of his hands, and no matter what's going on in your life right now, Christmas is all about hope, church. It's all about hope. If you need some hope this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room, the Christmas message is this: for unto us a child is born. He is our hope, and he is our salvation. Jesus came in an impossible way to make a way where there seems to be no way. So right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say, "Pastor, I'm the one. I'm the one this message was for. I'm hopeless. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm far from him. Everything's falling apart in my life, and I need him to put it back together again. I've been wrong. I've doubted. I've neglected to walk closely with him, and I need Jesus. This message is for me, because I am the one who needs the most hope in this room." Jesus wants to give it to you. If that's you this morning, lift up your hand all across this room. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. I need the hope of Jesus. I need him to capture my heart again. I need him to forgive me of all unrighteousness. I need to make him my Lord and Savior. I need to walk with him. I need to talk with him. If that's you, don't miss this opportunity. Thank you. I see you. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray. You've seen these hands, and you know every heart that lifted their hand, Jesus. God, I thank you that you died for them. God, while they were in the middle of their hopelessness, you died for them, knowing that they would need hope. So right now, I pray for forgiveness. Right now, I pray for grace. Right now, I pray for your mercy to cover them. God, I thank you that right now, because of their profession of faith, that they need you. Their sin is right now being separated as far as the east is from the west. And right now you're writing their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. And so now, in the name of Jesus, we accept you as our Lord and our Savior. And we make a commitment in this holy moment that this Christmas and for the rest of our lives, we're going to serve you, and we're going to hope for the best. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, can we celebrate those? Come on, let's celebrate. Heaven is celebrating. Thank you, God. The altar call is simple this morning. If you need hope, you're facing something that you came in to church this morning, and this Christmas you've not had much hope, I'm here this morning. The message of Christmas is simple. Hope has come, and his name is Jesus. And he wants to give you hope. He wants to be the lifter of your head. He wants to encourage your spirit. He wants to give you the strength to put one foot in front of the next and keep pressing forward, keep moving forward. So if you're facing some hopeless situation and you need the Spirit of the living God to step in and make a way where there seems to be no way, you need God to provide. You need God to heal. You need God to mend some situation. You need hope. Get to these altars as we worship, and we'd love to pray for you before we close. God bless you.